Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Tom Hunt, whose new thriller, One Fatal Mistake, is available. It's going to be available February 5th, wherever your fine books are sold. But if you want to get a book early, which I always enjoy, you can check out Tom. And I'll mention these dates later on, too. But he's going to be at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City this coming Thursday, January 24th at 7 o'clock. And then Saturday, January 26th, he's going to be giving a reading at the Washington Free Public Library in Washington, Iowa, just outside Iowa City, where Tom is from. Tom, this new book, One Fatal Mistake, it's a follow-up. It's not a sequel or anything, but it's your second book. You wrote Killer Choice, and we had you on about a year ago. This new book takes us to Cedar Rapids, Iowa, for just one heck of a thrilling ride over the course of a couple of days. And can you kind of, I'm terrible at trying not to give anything away because I love this book so much, but just sort of set it up for us, would you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as you mentioned, it's set in Cedar Rapids, more specifically southeastern Iowa, and kind of all begins with a car accident where an 18-year-old kid hits a man and kills him, and then he decides to leave the scene without reporting it to the police for various reasons that we kind of learn later. And so he eventually tells his mom, and then some other people find out about the accident, and kind of use that as leverage over them to get them to do some things that, they otherwise wouldn't normally do. And everything just kind of goes out of control from there.
Well, that's putting it very mildly. Now, part of the book, and I'm not going to give anything away, but part of the book takes place in Hastings, Nebraska. How'd you pick Hastings?
It was totally random. I just looked at a map and chose that one.
All right. This book, I'm curious as to how long is your first draft of a book like this, because the writing on this is so tight, and every chapter has a cliffhanger, and it's just a complete page turn. It took me about 2.5 hours to read this cover to cover. So before you pare it down to the tight thriller we have, what's this look like first draft-wise?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of times it is, even twice as long as the final draft. That's one thing my editor always focuses on a lot, too, is just really paring down as many words as I can and making it as tight of a book as possible. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing once you go through the editing process and you see just how much of the book can be cut. It's pretty cool to see.
When Killer Choice was written, you wrote that in a bubble. Nobody was expecting it, and you weren't, maybe you were on contract, but I don't know, I don't think you were, but so nobody's expecting it. That first book came out, and I couldn't wait for a second book in that sort of same genre. What's that like, the second book, with all this pressure on you now after the success of your first book?
Yeah, it's definitely different, because with the first one, as you mentioned, I didn't have a contract or anything, so I was just kind of writing it in my free time, and it was just basically up to me to find time to write it and get it done at my own pace. Whereas with the second one, there was a very strict deadline because they wanted the second book to come out exactly a year after the first one. And so there was a very, strict deadline. I only had a certain amount of time to write it. The first draft had to be in by this date. The second draft had to be in by this date. And then the final draft had to be in by a certain date as well. So it definitely was kind of a different experience, just having, such a strict deadline that you had to make.
Is that a lot of pressure on you as a writer?
Yeah, definitely. Pressure, and I guess it's just more like a time management thing. It certainly is a different experience, having that deadline hanging over you. And I think the first book took me about a little over a year to write, and that was before the editing process. And the editing process took a good 6 months after that, so it's about a year and a half. And then with this book, the writing process and the editing process combined was about 8-9 months, so it was about half the time.
You got to tell me about this Y Cafe at 12th Street and Avenue B in New York City. I'm intrigued because I know you wrote your first book at, I assume it was the same place, but what's this shop, this cafe like where you write?
Yeah. I wrote pretty much all the first book in that place, and I wrote a majority of the second one there. It's just a really nice, quiet little cafe, which is just pretty much impossible to find in New York. Every place is loud, every place is crowded, and there's just this really quiet cafe that has really nice food and great tea and coffee, and for whatever reason, it's just hardly ever crowded, so I just love going in there for hours on end, and the owners are great, so it's my favorite place.
Well, this is what a Tom Hunt fan I am. I looked up on Google Maps the address, and I found the cafe, so I can imagine you sitting there in a corner in your laptop. Do people leave you alone? I mean, nobody knows what you're doing, right?
No, yeah, no one knows what I'm doing. I gave them a couple copies of the book, and so they have one of the copies of the book like displayed in the cafe, but yeah, no one knows. I never get recognized or anything like that.
Are you still working a full-time job in addition to writing, or are you now a full-time writer?
Yeah, I do still work in advertising, yeah.
So you're doing that. I mean, that's got to be that probably impinges on your time management skills a lot, because that takes out, you know, five full working days a week at least for writing, right?
Yeah, it's true. One thing I've noticed, though, is a lot of times if you just have like a set amount of time and you just really work and focus on the book in that set amount of time, say like 2 hours before work, I think a lot of times that's just as productive as like having the entire day and kind of working a bit here and working a bit there and working a bit there. So, you know, sometimes it's almost a blessing in disguise to kind of have some other things going on.
Well, you grew up in Washington, Iowa, so you're right near Cedar Rapids, just a little bit south of there. The locations that you use in Cedar Rapids, all real locations?
Yeah, that was actually one different thing about this book, was that the town, the city in the first book, Killer Choice, was just a totally made-up city. So, you know, I could just throw in a detail here or there, you know, whatever would fit the story. But whereas this one, you know, a lot of it takes place in Cedar Rapids, so since that's a real place, obviously, you know, you have to kind of do your research or even pull it from your memory to make sure the details are right.
One of the other things that you touched on in the book is this relationship between divorced parents who have a minor child. And when you have that type of situation, unless you've gone through it, I don't think people can completely understand it, but I've talked to enough people who've gone through it that I think you kind of nailed it. How did you go about making sure to get the details right of what the relationship that two people have who don't love each other anymore but are forced to deal with each other because of situations?
Yeah, I read a couple articles online. It's not something I personally experienced, but I did, you know, read a few articles online, and I think one of the main things is just, you know, making sure the characters are very developed and rounded characters just on the page, you know, regardless of what the relationship is. I think just something like that helps the reader to relate to them a lot.
From a marketing standpoint, I know that all the publicity materials come out, and they compare you to different authors, Harlan Coben, Lisa Gardner, just among the few. I think you stand alone. I mean, I just read Joseph Finder's new novel, and it's a completely different type of a story, and I think you stand alone. What does that do to you, though, for a writer? Is that purely marketing, I mean, when you're compared to other writers?
Yeah, a lot of times it is marketing. A lot of times they just, you know, the hope is that if you are a Harlan Coben fan and you are a Lisa Gardner fan and you see, you know, someone like me compared to them, you know, when you're browsing the bookstore and see a book, the hope is that you'll be intrigued enough to maybe give the book a shot.
Is that what you found from talking to readers going around, that that's how they discover you? Because I'm curious as to how somebody picks up a new author. I pick it up because it was sent to me from the publicist, and I noticed you were from Iowa. That's how I picked up Killer Choice, and I read it the first night I opened it. So how does that work from a marketing standpoint, just picking, you know, why do people read Tom Hunt?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the million-dollar question, is how, you know, newer writers get discovered, because there's a lot of very, very good books out there that are published that never find an audience. Probably my favorite author is a guy named Jonathan Moore, and he just writes fantastic thrillers. And, I mean, he's just not a very big man. He has five or six books out, and they're all just fantastic. And for for whatever reason, he just hasn't found like a big audience, and there's a number of writers like that. So that's really, you know, the question that everyone in the publishing industry has is just how, you know, you can take like a newer author like myself and turn them into someone big like a Harlan Coben or a Lisa Gardner. And, you know, the hope is just, really the main thing I can do is just write the best book I can and, you know, hope that the publishing house can kind of work on the publicity and also work on it some myself.
I would think that when you set a novel in Cedar Rapids, that you always run the risk of trying making it too local of a book. And by that I mean, if you set it in New York City, a lot of people have been to New York City. The majority of people who read this book have never been to Cedar Rapids. So how do you avoid that temptation of making it too localized?
Yeah, that's a good question. A lot of the book does take place in Cedar Rapids, but a lot of it takes place on a farm in Iowa. And I've always kind of thought a farm was a really good location for like would be a good location for a thriller novel or a thriller movie, just because it's kind of isolated and out in the middle of nowhere, and you're just totally on your own. And so, yes, the book, you know, is set in Cedar Rapids, but it's also more set in southeastern Iowa, just because it's, you know, the desolate countryside. I thought it was just kind of a perfect match. So that's kind of why I chose Cedar Rapids in southeastern Iowa as the location.
You know, you're a University of Iowa graduate, and you told me last time we talked that you didn't go to the workshop, but I think you even made a joke that you weren't good enough for the writer's workshop. Your works have been every bit as good as anything I've ever read out of that workshop, in as much as it entertained me, and I read it from start to finish in one sitting. Do you hear from people or other authors from Iowa, because it's a pretty tight-knit community of authors that are from Iowa, I would think, that, you know, is there attaboys that go around, or are you part of this Iowa author clique, or are you removed enough from Iowa that isn't part of your makeup anymore?
No, I'm not really part of, you know, a group or anything like that. I do know that the signings that I had in Iowa for Killer Choice, the book signings, were really well attended. Like, incredibly well attended. We actually ran out of books at the Washington signing. And then the signing up in Prairie Lights was really well attended as well. So I do just really appreciate, you know, the support from the community and friends and that sort of thing. It was really, the two signings in Iowa last year were really a lot of fun.
Well, I've had authors tell me, I mean, I think Lisa Gardner even told me this, that it's a humbling experience to have a signing, because you could show up and there's a handful of people there. Do you think about that as you're walking in, that, God, maybe I'm not even going to sell a book tonight?
Yeah, I do. It's always kind of, I think last year I did had a book signing in Houston. There's a bookstore down in Houston, Texas, that just only sells mystery thriller novels, and it's pretty well known, so I went down there, and since this is my first book, since Killer Choice is my first book, you know, not a lot of people knew who I was. So I think there was about two or three people in the crowd, and that was it. So, yeah, it can definitely be humbling at times.
And then when you do one of those signings and you do a reading, especially Prairie Lights is always good at this, the author will read, and you get to know the author's beat and how the author thinks the book should sound. What goes into picking the selection that you read? Because you can't give too much away, but you also want to make it intriguing that they pick up the book.
Yeah. I think usually the opening chapter or the opening kind of few paragraphs is always a good choice. I always try to open my books with action and with something going on that really grabs your attention. I think that that's really one of the key things for any writer, is just to, you know, grab the audience's attention right from the start and, you know, get them intrigued that way. And then, you know, once you have their attention like that, then you can kind of throw in, you know, the character details and maybe the slow-moving character development parts. But when you open with action, it kind of draws them in.
Well, and I know it sounds like I'm just repeating myself, but there aren't enough superlatives to describe how much I like both this book and Killer Choice that's a year ago. So if you haven't read either of them, pick them both up. But they're not, it's not a sequel situation, so you can read them both independently. The book is One Fatal Mistake by Tom Hunt. Tom is going to be appearing in Iowa this week, Thursday night. He's going to be at Prairie Lights in downtown Iowa City at 7 o'clock. You can come and get an advanced copy of the book there. You can also attend his reading in Washington, Iowa at the Washington Free Public Library. That's at 11:15 on Saturday, January 26th. Tom will be there signing books, talking, reading, all that fun stuff. The book comes out February 5th, wherever your books are sold. Tom, fantastic book here, fantastic second book. Can't wait to read the third one.
Hey, thanks so much, Brian.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. Iowa, spilling blood in-